And that's found in John 3:16. Amen. We'll start there, and we're going to just concentrate on God's great love for sinners. God's great love for sinners. John 3:16. A lot of us don't even have to open our Bibles, but I think it's important because when we look at it, we can miss a real big word. And I was looking at a different translation, I guess it was, and they forgot that first word in John 3:16. So we don't want to miss that big word for John 3:16. All hearts and minds clear. If you healthy and able, stand up. Won't be standing long today. We're going to hit one verse. Amen. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Everlasting life. Amen. 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 I slipped into a different translation by reading it. Father, thank you for the word of God. Thank you for all that you've done this day, Father God. The Sunday school, all the classes were wonderful, and all the students were great in participating. And we thank you for the teachers, Father God. We thank you for the singing this morning, the choir, and the young people. Sister Brian working so hard with them and being so patient. We thank you for her and the choir. Then, Father God, we ask that you just bless the preaching of your word today. Let the word of God, Father God, have a powerful impact on lives today. And we leave here, Father God, we'll be able to apply biblical truths to our lives. And we'll go out into this sick world and be able to confess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. John 3:16. For God. It's all about God. It's about what God has done because he loves us. God loves sinners. And I look at the text today and I looked at all the folks we've been talking about, great conversions. We've talked about great conversions in the Bible. And last week we talked about the thief on the cross. God loved that thief on the cross. Amen. He gave both of them the same opportunity. Both of them had the same opportunity. Amen. One heard and one didn't. I think about John Newton. We sing that one song, Amazing Grace. And John Newton was a captain of a slave ship. And God saved John Newton. Think about Paul and Saul. And Saul hated Christianity, hated Jesus, hated the Christians. And had authority from the elders and the chief priests of that town to destroy them, to destroy Christians. God saved Paul. So we see God's great love for sinners. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world. So loved the world. That word so means, it's just a word you really can't explain how great this love is. And today I just want to spend some time just talking about the greatness of his love. First, we need to talk about the objects of his love. It's the world, you know, and I've heard great men of God, great preachers try to compartmentalize that in just a certain group of people. But it says God loved the world.
Amen.
Jews. God loved Jews and Arabs and Chinese and Russians.
Amen.
Somebody said red, yellow, black, and white. All are precious in his sight.
Amen.
So I don't know a lot of this teaching, and I'm not going to even spend a lot of time with it, but I know this sermon today, or last month's sermon, went out. I have the stats here. Went out to 30 states. In 8 countries, United Kingdom, people in Germany and the Philippines and Saudi Arabia and Zambia and South Africa, Australia and Singapore. All heard messages just from our little church.
Amen.
Our little church. The word of God went out to the world, to all mankind, to all of the human race. So we don't want to get caught up in that. And I'm not going to sit here and get caught up in that because I believe God's word went out to the world.
Amen.
The world. Let's talk a little bit about the greatness of his love, the greatness of God's love, the measure of the love that he showed mankind. How was it measured? How do we measure it? He gave what? His only begotten Son. We don't have to talk about that a whole lot. We know the impact of that. Jesus loved his Son. Now think about in a church like today, we got all these children. And I look around and I look around the room and I can point out any parent in here, but who would raise their hand? Who would be the first one to volunteer to sacrifice their child? A little Justin making all that noise today. We're going to take Justin. We're going to say, you know, we're going to take little Justin. We're going to sacrifice him. And he's going to save all of Youngstown if we sacrifice him. I don't think his mama would be going for that. That ain't going to happen. So this, just in that illustration, we know the impact of God's love. And when he gave his only begotten Son, but none of us would. None of us would. That's a great love. That's a great love that he gave his only begotten Son for the sins of the world, the sins that we have committed, the sins of man. How great is his love? So many scriptures. Think about this one. It's a love so great that when you done battled, when you done fought, when you done went through it all that you've been through. I think Deacon Oliver had a great question today. You know, how do we know if we love God, or how do we know if God loves us? You're going to battle for him. You're going to fight for your family and your marriage and your children. You're going to fight for your Lord, his character and his dignity. You're going to fight for it. You're going to battle for it. And then you can rest assured. Romans 8 and 37 and 38 say, and when you've done all that, it says, when you've done all that, it says you're more than conquerors through him that loved us. You know, one of the things that probably upsets me most about Christianity is I hear folks just complaining and murmuring and worrying and complaining about things. And God gives us the power to make war with our issues. I fought all week. You know, I say I fought all week. I fight all week, my boys, you know, because I love them. I'm not going to give up on him. My father told me, I was telling Cindy, my father told me, you know, before he passed away, he said, don't give up on Ray. He told me that. He said, don't give up on him. Amen. And, you know, me and Ray, we battle. You know, we battle. And I plead and beg with him because, you know, you don't want to lose him. You don't want to lose him. And you got to struggle with your children. So you just hang in there with them. They're going to give you some rough times. But hang in there with them. We need some good young men coming up out of the church that's not ashamed. Amen. Of the gospel of Christ. Amen. Not ashamed. Paul told him, he said, listen, I'm persuaded. He's talking about the love of God here. He said, I'm persuaded that neither death nor life, talking about the greatness of God's love, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come. And some of us got some things coming our way. Because we all need to turn at this. But he said, if you're in the power of God, if you're in the will of God, if you know the love of God, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to do what? To separate us from what? From the love of God. And it's important that you be in the love of God at all times, because we don't know. So some of us, anybody in here, myself included, could be stricken today. And if we're not in the will of God, I talked to a lady yesterday. She said, you could come down with Alzheimer's in an instant and not know the Lord. And now you got an issue. Now you have an issue. But the word of God said nothing. She'll be able to separate us from what? The love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord, which is in the sacrifice that God made for us. Amen. The sacrifice that God made for. So we have this flippant type of love. We have the type of love, the young man, he'll go over to the young lady's house and he'll be visiting. He'll tell her, I love you and I will die for you. I will take a bullet for you. I will let nothing ever happen to you. I will be everything to you. And then when it's time to go home, he said, if it don't rain, I'll see you tomorrow. And we have to be careful that we don't have this flippant type of love. That we have a serious we have a serious love for God. Why? Because what he done for us.
Amen.
See, we were in trouble at one time. And I say this to some of the young folks that haven't really gone through anything. You will. And when you do, hang your hat on some of these scriptures. This is why we a Bible-based church, so we give you scriptures, because you're going to go through. You're going to get in situations where you don't have any. I'm lost. Then you need a verse. You need a Bible verse. You need a reference point, somewhere to get you back home. And Claire was talking about putting a something on the roof. I forget what it's called. A steeple. Okay. That's okay. But you need the Word of God in your heart, in your soul, so you'll know when you get in that situation. Look at Titus chapter 3. Here's a good one to have. And highlight it in your Bible. And those that are visiting, not used to what we do here at Christian Bible Baptist, get a Bible. We like to just read these verses so you can get some understanding. When you leave here, you'll leave here with some understanding.
Amen.
No use just preaching and you don't have no understanding. And you go home and you don't have a clue what the preacher preached about. Titus 3:3-7, he spoke this. Write it down on something. He said, "For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish." Talk about all of us in here that's saved. Okay? And I emphasize us. We were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived. What does it mean, deceived? What are you talking about, Paul? Tricked. Tricked. Satan is the master of deception.
Amen.
And a whole lot of folks think they're following the Lord. They're really not.
Amen.
That's his greatest trick.
Amen.
His greatest trick is, you know what? You just do what you're doing. You're okay.
Uh-huh.
You're okay. You heaven bound. You're on the wrong road. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
You're going south when you should be going north. And you're not seeing the things you should see. But Satan's still saying, you know, you're all right.
Uh-huh.
There's a difference between going to New York and going to Alabama.
Amen.
You're going to see different things. And there's folks going to Alabama thinking they're going to New York tonight. There's a problem. Your spiritual GPS is off.
Amen.
You need to see certain things. Certain things ought to be happening to you when you confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Certain things ought to be apparent in your lives. Okay? And here's what Paul is saying to Timothy or to Titus. He's saying, well, we weren't. Ourselves were foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lust, pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, and hating one another.
Mm-hmm.
Now you dealing with some of that stuff, then you know, okay, fix my mind, like Caleb was just saying. Fix my mind, fix my heart, fix my soul, because I'm dealing with malice, envy, hateful, I'm hating one another, and I'm serving my own pleasures and lust. Because this is what should have happened. Shouldn't be happening. Because here's what Paul said to Titus. He said, but after the kindness and the love of God, our Savior toward men appeared in our hearts, appeared in our lives. Those things should be dropping off of you.
Amen.
Okay? If you say you worshiping God, you praising God, and you carry around living in malice and envy and hateful and serving all your divers lusts, then you need an examination.
Amen.
A checkup. Because Paul said it should be happening. He said it should be happening. Listen, here's another barometer. How much do you have in common with Jesus? How much do you have in common with Jesus? Now, I watch the NBA finals is coming up. And you know, you watch these young players, you watch college, and you see they didn't model their game after certain players. Okay? Folks doing the crossover, and Iverson started that years ago. And then they doing the step back jumpers and all that stuff. Because they model themselves after LeBron and Iverson. Listen, how much do you have in common with Jesus? That's a good question.
Amen.
This is a good question. Paul asked, he's asking the church of Corinth this. He said, 2 Corinthians. He said, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.
Amen.
How you dealing with that? Are you having communion? The communion of the Holy Ghost. Do you know the Holy Ghost, if the Holy Ghost even lives in you? Because when you receive the Holy Ghost, according to Acts 1 and 8, you receive power.
Uh-huh.
Okay? So are you having communion with the Holy Ghost? How about this? Does the love of God abide in you? Does the love of God abide in you? You guys want me to preach on the love of God? I'm preaching just a loving message.
Amen.
Does the love of God abide in you? I'm dead serious.
Amen.
Okay? Because I know some of y'all, the pastor and his wife, all them bad kids, they just, listen, somebody got to love them.
Amen.
Somebody got to love them. Okay? What better person than folks that say they got the love of God in them?
Amen.
Cindy got the love of God in her. Look at this scripture here. I thought about this morning. Dr. Oliver was asking some questions. He said, he asked a great question though. He said, how do we know if God loves us? I believe that was the question. Here's your answer. 1 Thessalonians 3 and 5. He says this. He says, and the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. How about that? That's a good answer, because if God loves you, he's going to direct you. He's going to guide you. He's going to be everything to you. You're going to move when he asks you to move, and you're going to do what the word says. You're going to ask. You're going to say, God, give me the power to do it. Give me the power to do it. Okay. You may be thinking about a relationship. You may be like, listen, this ain't working. What does the word of God say? Marriage, I'm having trouble. What does the word of God say? To the man of God. To the woman of God. How about this one, Deacon? In the hope, and hope make it not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. What does that mean? The love of God is just poured out into our hearts.
Amen.
You're a Christian. God just pours his love into you. He just pours his love into you. And then you know what? Somebody bump into you, and somebody get on your nerves. You know what? You walk around, and I'm walking around with a cup of coffee, and somebody bump me. What's going to waste? What's going to spill? If that cup is full, coffee gonna spill. And if you full and somebody bump you, move you the wrong way, guess what? Look at Ephesians 2, 4 and 7. It says, But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he what? Loved us. Loved us. How did he love us? When did he love us? Even when we were dead in sins, have quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved.
Amen.
Listen, God loved us even when we was sinful. Amen. Hateful toward him. Hateful toward one another. Hateful toward the church. Hateful toward the love of God. God still loved us.
Amen.
Now, does God's love save us? No, that's not what it's saying. That's not what it's saying. What it's saying is God's great love wherewith he loved us. There's another part to it.
Mm-hmm.
Paul says this. For by what?
Grace
are you saved. God loved you. But you had to receive his grace. How do you receive his grace? Through faith. And not of yourself. It's a gift of God. And then you don't have it. I don't have that, Pastor. I don't have it. You heard it. Faith coming by here. Now you've heard it.
Amen.
You go home and you get in your car and you say, you know, Lord Jesus, give me that grace that the pastor was talking about. Give me the grace that Sister Kaylin was singing about.
Amen.
Fix my heart, fix my mind, fix my soul. Complete me, make me whole.
Amen.
All that. That's all based on this great love of God. Then you know you have it. Now you know you have it. How do I know I have it? Because you say you got the Holy Spirit. And when you start talking about the fruits of the Spirit, according to Galatians 5, here we go. What's the first one you have? Love. For the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long suffering, and patience. You have all that. Now you're on the right road. Now you're going north.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're going north because you have the love of God in your heart. And you have the Spirit of God. You say you got the Spirit of God.
Yes.
And you can't have the Spirit of God unless you've been born again.
Amen.
That's how this whole story started off with Nicodemus. He said, he pleaded with Nicodemus. Nicodemus, listen, cut the chase. Stop asking me all these stupid questions, because you're not going to understand spiritual things until you're born again. And if you're here today and you're not understanding what I'm saying, and you ask God, God, give me the Spirit of God to understand. Because you need God's Spirit to understand spiritual things. Okay? Some of us can watch movies I would get no understanding out of because they're worldly.
Amen.
And they be sitting there, don't even blink, hand in the popcorn, just watching. Look at the offer of God's love. I heard something today. I heard Dave. They was just eating my sermon up in Bible study this morning. I just sit here like they all in my business. But the comment was made that about the rich young ruler. Because you see, God offers all of us his salvation. Okay? And we get the offer, we get an agreement. Some of us been watching free agency, all these things, they get an offer. You can take it or leave it. Okay, you can take it off. You look at, read it over. Take it to your attorneys. Read it over. Don't like it. Need a little bit more. Need a little bit more up front. Need a little more on the back end. Need a bigger signing bonus. Need some more guarantees. Okay, all that goes into it because he makes an offer. And he made an offer. Here's the offer he made. It says this. And when he was gone forth into the way. Talk about the rich young ruler in Mark 10:17. There came one running. And kneel to him and ask him, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? Man, he came to the right source. He came to the right place. He had the person wrong, but he came to the right place. And Jesus said unto him, why callest me thou good? There is none good but one, that is God.
Amen.
He says, thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy mother and father. And he answered and said unto him, master, all these I've observed since my youth. I'm a good, moral, upright man. And on my way to hell.
Amen.
Yes. Then Jesus, beholding him, that's a powerful word. Looking at him with love. Looking at him with the love of God. He says, and Jesus beholding him, loved him. But did Jesus love save him? No. Jesus loved him. He loved him. And said unto him, one thing thou lackest. Now, listen. If there was one thing you need to do to get to heaven, many of us would say we would do it. Just one thing. And I'm on my way to heaven. You know what Jesus said? Make me Lord in your life. Make me Lord in your life. Make me your master that you call me. He said, this one thing you do, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and take up the cross and follow me. That's the terms. That's the offer. He made him an offer. That offer is still standing today. He's still making that same offer to every one of us. Okay? He's not sitting here talking about cheap grace. Okay?
Amen.
Cheap grace. Well, you know what? All you got to do is join the church. You're only going to heaven. You're heaven bound. Join the church. You're heaven bound. Well, you know, I'm a member of the church. That's not a guarantee. That's not the ticket. See, the Bible says in the last day, many are going to come to me saying, Lord, Lord.
Amen.
I was a member of the church. Did a whole lot of work, too. And gave a whole lot of money and was there all the time. And he said, I never knew you. So we have to make sure that we understand the proposal. We understand the agreement because the offer of God's love is for everybody. Okay?
Amen.
Now we can sit here and say, well, you know, there was a problem here with this guy. Sure was. He had a lot of stuff. He had other things. He had other interests that was more important than his relationship with the Lord. Mm-hmm. But then again, he didn't like the terms.
Uh-huh.
Okay? And many of us, we can go to the job application and say, we're going to offer you the job. It's going to be on third shift, and I can't do third shift. Okay? And then you keep on looking. You keep on looking. Let's look at it. Let's look at Matthew. Let's look at this offer in Matthew. Because Matthew, when Jesus walked by Matthew, the tax collector, he made an offer. He said, Simon or Matthew, follow me. Levi, come follow me. Put everything down. Dropped all that. Put it all down. Came and followed him. And then he went back and had a going away party. And invited Jesus. He invited Jesus for one reason. See if any of his unsaved friends wanted this same offer he had. And this is what we should be doing today. This is what we should be doing today. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. You need to be somewhere hearing the word of God and hearing from the Lord because life is short for many of us.
Amen.
Okay? And whether it's getting short or not, Tomorrow ain't guaranteed. And he made this offer to Matthew. And it says this. And Jesus passed forth thence and saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom. And he said unto him, follow me. And he arose and followed him. Now we know from the other text that his name was Levi, the son of Alphaeus. He was a Levite. Levi should have been in the temple working. Should have been in the temple taking care of business and preaching and doing all the work that a synagogue required. It says, and it came to pass, verse 10, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. Now, what do you think they talked about? What do you think they would have? What conversation would that be? Talking about the Lord. Talking about getting yourself together, getting yourself right, and being saved.
Amen.
Look what happened. And when the Pharisees saw it, they saw the offer being made. They heard the conversation. They said unto his disciples, why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? Here's God's great love. Here's his great offer of love to those publicans. I almost say Republicans. But those publicans, here's that great offer. But Jesus heard that. He heard them talking. He heard them murmuring. He heard them complaining. He said unto them, here's the offer. He said that they that behold need not a physician, but they that are sick. What's Jesus saying? He said, I came to seek and save the lost. I came to seek sinners. I didn't come for the self-righteous folks. Okay? I came to seek and save lost souls. Lost souls. And we can go on and on. And I think when I look at 1 Timothy, one of the great lessons in the Bible. Bye, Justin. Joshua. When I look at Paul, and we talk about the lesson this morning in Sunday school, John had came to that church and they had some issues. They had issues with Gnosticism. They had people saying Jesus wasn't true who he said he was. He didn't do what he said he did. All that was going on. And Paul was facing the same thing. And you will be facing the same thing.
Amen.
You will face the same thing as you go out and talk about Jesus. And somebody made a comment, you know, we don't suffer persecution like we used to because we don't talk about Jesus like we used to.
Amen.
Okay? We a bunch of incognito Christians. We're not standing for nothing.
Yeah.
Folks don't know where you stand at on anything. And that's the way it goes. But Paul, they knew where Paul stood. And they tried to tell Paul, you know what, Paul? You really ain't saved. You really don't know the Lord. All this stuff you doing, all these churches you planting, they all false church. And Paul said this. He said this in 1 Timothy 1 and 15. He said, this is a faithful saying.
Yeah.
He said, this is a faithful saying here. Why would he have to say that? Because people was confronting him. They was challenging his apostolic authority. And Paul said, let me tell you something. This is a faithful saying. Based on who I am, I knew what Paul said. I know what I was.
Amen.
And I know what I was. Okay, and if you saved in here, you know what you was.
Amen.
Okay? Paul said, let me tell you something. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Not a certain group of folks, not a certain race of folks, not a certain denomination of folks. He said he came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. How about that? That's a good answer. I want to hear all that other stuff. I'm not hearing all that other stuff. He said, howbeit I, because I obtain mercy. Let me tell you something. You in here today? You don't know the Lord? Still in your sin? You need some mercy.
Amen.
And now you know where to go. Now you know where to go. Paul again, I can sit here talking about this offer all day of God's great love. And in Romans 5 and 6, he says this. Paul says this. He says, for when you were yet without strength.
Yeah.
And again, some of us in here going through, we don't have strength.
Yeah.
See, worldly strength ain't gonna work against this enemy. When the enemy come against you and you using worldly strength, you don't have a chance. You don't have a chance. You're going to cuss. You're going to swear. You're going to drink. You're going to smoke. You're going to have premarital sex and fornication. You're going to do whatever because you ain't got no weapons.
All right.
You are without strength against Satan when you in the flesh.
Amen.
I hope that makes sense.
Amen.
You need some spiritual strength to fight this demon.
Amen.
Okay? But Paul's saying this. He said, yet when we were without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Without God, we was without strength. Listen, this is only by the grace of God I am here today, let alone in a position where I can preach the gospel.
Amen.
Because I was out there battling and didn't have no strength.
Amen.
And thought I was winning. Listen, look at this offer. One more offer. And I like this one the most. These are just fighting words. Let me tell you something. If you're a Christian, if you're saved, born again, believe you's a fighter. Because when you come up with stuff like this, no wonder they stone fall. Because when you say stuff like this, you looking for a fight.
Amen.
When you walk into a group, you know, this is why I don't do a whole lot of interfaith stuff. Okay, and I'm in there with the rabbi, and I'm in there with the Muslim, and I'm in there with the Catholic priest, and I'm in there with I can't do that stuff. That's why I got away from the whole police chaplaincy, because I can't be in there with all of them. Because let me tell you something. Here's how I feel when they bring Mr. Rabbi in there, Mr. Muslim, Mr. Rastafarian dude. Now they got all kind of folks, Mr. Wicca. Listen, let me tell you something. Here's what I believe, and I align my beliefs over Scripture. Paul says this in Acts 4:12. Y'all know it. Let me go back. Let me go all the way back. Acts. We always do 12. Let's go back to verse number 8 so we can get the whole meaning of this verse. Because we know there's none. We know that there's salvation in none other. But let's go all the way back to 8 and see what Paul was dealing with here in Acts chapter 4. Look at verse 8. He said, This is Peter, not Paul. Y'all know I love Paul. I'm on Paul and everything. Listen, here's Peter. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them. Now, let me stop for a minute. Because, see, we think being filled with the Holy Ghost means we got to run around. We got to move the drums out of the way. Because folks going to knock down all Margaret's flowers. You know, we running around here like a bunch of drunk kangaroos. Hopping around. And I said, filled with the Holy Ghost. Filled with the Holy Ghost don't mean you a doggone fool. Because the Spirit of God, okay? Listen, the fruit of the Spirit is Holy Ghost. We Baptists, so we don't like to say Holy Ghost. But listen, Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, same thing. For the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. It don't mean you hopping around like a kangaroo. Okay? Now, y'all like that little kangaroo dance. I ain't going to do that no more. My wife still back there? Because Michael going to be doing it all over the house. Listen. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost. Look what he did. Didn't jump around like a kangaroo.
Uh-huh.
He said unto them, you rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole. Remember, the man was crippled outside. He was asking for money. They took him in. He came out dancing. Came out letting them know, hey, I'm healed. Look at verse 10. But it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him do this man stand here before you whole. Let me tell you what the Holy Ghost done with Peter. Gave him the power to speak boldly the name of Jesus Christ. Gave him the power to speak boldly the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. That's what Peter did when he was filled with the Holy Ghost. He spoke boldly about Jesus. Listen, then he says, he finished. He said, and this is the stone. And this is the stone, one stone, which was set at naught of you builders. There's not a lot of these stones. There's only one stone, which has become the head of the corner.
Amen.
Now these fighting words. Amen. You had an interfaith ecumenical meeting.
Amen.
And you stand up in the Holy Ghost at that meeting and tell them Wiccas and the Rastas and the Muslims and the Catholics and all them folks, tell them, listen, neither is there salvation in any other.
Amen.
This is what the Holy Ghost gives you, power. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none. Y'all, do I have to define none? And I'm not talking to N, it doesn't say the N-U-N, none. This is the N-O-N-E, mysterious. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Listen, that's the offer. And that's a battle there. Listen, you know, and I know some of y'all, listen, we family. And some of us got Jehovah's Witnesses in our family. You know, we got some atheists in our family, and we got some Muslims in our family. They don't, you know, they come around at 4th of July, I don't eat pork, you know. I had my nephew, you didn't cook the pork. You didn't cook the ribs on the same grill with the chicken. Yes, I did. Yes, I did. And that chicken is contaminated. Okay. So listen. There's none other name. None other name. Let me keep going. I'm still talking about the love of God. But it's business. Listen, how do we treat the love of God? Here's a good question. How do we treat the love of God? Some deny it. You know, we talk about it. Some deny it. I don't want to hear the love of God because they got the wrong God. They don't want to hear about our God because our God has a son named Jesus.
Amen.
Died on the cross. Buried. Rose on the third day. Now sitting in the right hand of God. Listen, don't have everybody praying for you.
Amen.
Question them. You have a right. Now I'm praying for you. Who are you praying to?
Amen.
You have to ask that question. Because they could be praying to the God of Holy Pee-Pee. That's the Rastafarian God. The Holy Pee-Pee. That's his name. Y'all think I'm telling jokes. And one of the kids had any rest. I need a Rastafarian Bible. I started looking up. Oh, it's the Holy Pee-Pee. Really? You're going to pray to him? And somebody be praying, I'm praying to the Holy Pee-Pee for you. You keep that. Okay? I'm going to call the elders of the church, and I'm going to be fine. But how do some folks do it? Some folks deny it. You know, we think about it. We talk about Lot's wife. Okay? And nobody, none of the women want to choose Lot's wife. Lot's wife. Lot's wife knew the rules. She knew the offer. God had came down, miraculously sent some angels to her husband's house and said, don't look back. She looked back. She denied. She didn't believe. Listen, we talked about this verse here. Paul again, 1 Corinthians 15:58. Well, now, why would Paul have to say this? Think about both sides of the scripture. When you read the scripture, think about both sides of it. Why is he having to say this? Why is he having to tell the believers at Corinth, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Why does he have to say that? Because there's some folks there. There's some folks in the church whose labor is in vain. They're not unmovable. They're moving all around. They're taking anything to come down the pipe. They're not steadfast.
Amen.
And Paul is having to remind them of the offer, remind them of the terms of this agreement. Listen, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, that your labor not be in vain. In vain. Why? Paul understood. Jesus talked about this verse here in Matthew 7:21. I know I'm giving a lot of scripture today. Hang in there with me. I'm almost finished with this. I didn't know the love of God covered this much.
Yes.
Watch this. Here's Paul. Here's Jesus in Matthew 7:21 talking about the same thing, how people treat the things of God. And I hear the children sing, the young people singing, and folks, God has been good to me. I can understand God has been good to me. I can understand Sylvia's shout because I know what she's been through. I've been with her. So I know God has been with her because you can't get out of certain things without the love of God. So I understand that. But Jesus is saying this. He said, not everyone that say unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. Uh-huh. Why does he have to say this? Because he knows. Some folks ain't got the right stuff. And I think you have to make sure you got the right stuff. We'll do it in 2 weeks. We'll have that communion. We have that personal examination. Look over the month of April, come 1st of May. And say, how was my April in the Lord? How did I love people? How did I treat my wife and family? How did I do? Fix me, Lord. Amen. That's what communion is for. And Jesus is saying to these people in advance, giving them an opportunity to really examine themselves. He said, many will say in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. See, so we have to be careful that we don't treat the grace of God wrong, because it's so wonderful. It's so wonderful what God has done for us. Listen. Some folks know full well they hate God. You're going to run into folks like that. I think this is what's happening in our country right now. When we look at our country, we look at the way they treat the church, the way they treat Christianity. I remind you guys, even the last election, when the Democrats had took up a vote that they weren't going to mention God or not at the convention. I thought that was sad. I thought that was thought-provoking. They took up a vote. Are we going to even mention God? Look at Psalms 2. This is not new stuff. Okay? Psalms 2 and 2 says this about the kingdom of Christ. He said, why do the heathens rage and the people imagine a vain thing? He said, the kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord. This is what's happening today. And against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. Why? Why? Because the word of God reveals to you your need of a Savior. It reveals to you that you're a sinner and that you're lost. And folks don't want to see it. Folks want to do what they want to do. They want to do what they want to do, and they don't want to be held accountable at all. They don't want to be held accountable at all. They just want to do what they want to do.
Yep. Amen.
And the word of God is there. The word of God is there, and it's saying that's wrong.
Amen.
That's wrong. And the word of God is convicting.
Amen.
Now, with all that going on against the Lord, what is the Lord doing? What is the Lord doing while all this is going on? And this is a great lesson for us, because sometimes we take that stuff too serious. Listen, we're not gonna change what's happening in our country today.
Amen.
Okay? Men going to marry men and women going to marry women. There's nothing we're going to be able to do. It's just coming down the pipe. Okay? It's the sign of the times. In the last days, there will be perilous times. Okay? Our duty is preach the word. And you know what? You're going to catch it. It's not going to be popular. If you come up here and talk about preaching, I want to be popular. Listen, God ain't never been popular. Okay? God, they don't crucify popular people. What's God doing? All this is going on. Look what it says in verse number 4. He sitteth in the heavens. It said, he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Lord is mocking. Y'all do what y'all want to do. Y'all going to see me one day.
Amen.
Okay? Y'all going to see me one day. Y'all going to stand before me one day. We know the outcome of that. Every knee shall bow, and every tongue is going to confess. And I was saying this the last week. I was talking to the kids out there. I was going to tell you something. Everybody in hell is born again. See, everybody in hell is believers. We don't like to look at it that way. You know, they saved now. You're going to get saved. Okay, you sit here and say, well, you know, I'll never accept Jesus Christ. Oh, now, according to my Bible, you will. You're going to accept him. He's going to be your Lord and Savior. Okay? You're not going to be able to sing. You'll be gnashing.
Yeah.
Some will despise you for even talking about the things of God. You ever met somebody like that? They don't even want to talk to you. They don't even want to look at you. Let me tell you something. Proverbs 1 and 7. Think about this all the time. Y'all know why. As foster parents, you think about scriptures like this. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. See, we stop there. Let's push that thing all the way out. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. Now let's put it all together. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. Everybody ain't going to receive it. Some folks going to neglect it. Some folks not going to hear it. Okay? What about us? Let's close. What about us? Amen. Pastor? Sylvia Price said, I wanted you to preach on love, but that I don't know if that was what I was talking about. Sylvia, I just preached to you the love of God. Amen. Listen. Here's some directives from some great folks. And all the great folks I know is in the Bible. Amen. Okay? Here's what Jude said. Here's what Jude said, Jude 1:21. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Keep yourself in the love of God. How do you do that? Y'all had a great Sunday school lesson. How do you keep yourself in the love of God? Prayer, Bible study, fellowship, all the things. That's how you keep yourself in the love of God. When you start neglecting those areas, then you start moving. Okay? You start moving and you become vulnerable. And I always say, you know what? When you watch some Animal Kingdom movies, you know, they ain't trying to chase that antelope way up front of the pack. That's not the one they going after. Okay? They going after the one that don't come to Sunday school, the one that don't come to Wednesday night Bible study, the one that's sporadic in their worship, you know, and that's the one they're getting after. Because that one ain't as fast as the other ones. Okay? And not as strong. And I say that as I just push and push and push. You know, just guys, come out. Learn about the things of God. Learn about the things of God. Get ready. Okay? They used to say it back in the day. People, get ready. Because your train is coming. Jake be like, where'd that come from? That's old, Jake. I'll talk to you later. Listen, Colossians 2. As I close. Look at Colossians 2. It's talking about after you receive the love of God. It says, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. That's good. He said, so walk in him. And he,